Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Do you remember the first time you ever went out on a diving board? Maybe it was a really high dive. Maybe you were 5 or 6 years old, and you decide that you were going to do it. So you got in a line of about 40 kids all waiting to climb the ladder and make their dive, and finally it was your turn. And so you climbed the last few rungs of the ladder, got out, and kind of inched your way out on the diving board, looked down at the water, and thought, what am I doing? Like, why am I up here? I want my mommy. And you kind of just became frozen in fear. You started to feel dizzy. Then you realized, wait, I could climb back down the ladder. And you started in motion that way, but then you said, no, I can do this, I can do this. And so you turned back around, and you looked down, and then you thought, no, I am going to go back down the ladder. And you started to turn, but you realized that there were now 40 kids all waiting in line behind you, and so you were stuck up there. You had to jump. And so you thought, okay, I'm going to jump, but I think I'm just going to wait a little while. And you were standing there when all of a sudden you heard something. Now, it was hard to make out exactly what it was because there was this fog of fear and confusion in your head. It sort of felt like you were in a tunnel, but you thought what you heard was a kid yelling, jump! And then it was again, just jump! Jump already! Just jump in! Just jump in. And then somehow, magically, this group of like kindergartners and grammar school kids behind you became organized and started to chant in unison, just jump in. Just jump in. Just jump in. I actually kind of remember the first time I just jumped in. It was a really high dive, like 10 or 15 feet or something. And I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I went up there and I was scared. And I looked down and I thought, man, there's no way I can do this. But there was something that helped me to jump. My father had swum out in the pool and was right where I was going to land. And he was one of those voices. He was saying, just jump in. You can do this. I gotcha. You can do it. Just jump in. And his voice and his presence gave me the confidence to make that big leap. Today, we're continuing our series that we started just last week called Bigger. And we're talking about going from a selfie life, kind of having some fun with the idea of taking selfies, you know, these pictures of ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's kind of like this life that's focused on myself, to living a selfless life. Living a bigger life. And so last week we talked about the great gamble, you know, that every single one of us makes a bet with our life. Can you imagine a person walking into a casino, walking up to a roulette wheel and putting everything they own? I'm talking about everything. I'm talking like the deed to their house, their life savings, everything on red or black. Man, that would be intense, right? To bet everything on this one thing. Well, every single one of us actually does that every single day. Because we bet our lives. Every day we're betting our lives. And really there's two choices that we can make in this wager. The bet we're making is, how am I going to live my life? What is it that's going to give me happiness? How am I going to find a sense of purpose and meaning in life? What will ensure that my life ultimately mattered? And there's two choices for what we can bet on. We can either bet on serving ourselves, doing and getting everything I can for me, or we can bet on serving others, doing and giving away everything I can for them, right? Now, everything around us, like in our culture, teaches us to bet on ourselves, to serve ourselves. Like we're taught everywhere to meet your own needs, look out for number one. And honestly, that's the choice that almost everyone makes, right? And really, it's like the only option out there, so it's not surprising. But we all choose to bet on ourselves. And we live in a culture where depression and suicide and divorce and just general unhappiness and anger increases and increases and increases. And we wonder why. We get to live in the richest country in the history of the world, and most of us are unhappy. Why? Perhaps we made the wrong wager. Jesus came along 2,000 years ago, and he gave us this other bet, this other way we can make this wager with our lives, because Jesus came and served others. Last week in our message, we saw him washing the dirty, filthy, smelly feet of his friends. A little while later in the Bible, we see Jesus giving up his life on a cross. Jesus lived his life not for himself, but for everyone else, to try to serve and meet the needs of other people. And he taught, he said, listen, I've done this to set you an example. You follow my example. You live for and serve and meet the needs of others. And there was this promise attached to it. We saw last week, he said, you will be blessed if you do this. You will find happiness if you stop trying to seek happiness by doing things for yourself and start trying to make other people happy. There'll be this surprise. Now you're happy because you're caring about other people instead of yourself. He said, this is how you're going to find purpose and meaning and a joyful, adventurous, meaningful life. It's through serving other people, not yourself. Now, that sounds backwards to us, honestly. It sounds crazy, but it's not like what we've been taught works, right? We've been taught to live a certain way, and it doesn't work. And we saw last week that, man, when people actually live this way, it works. They start to find the joy and the happiness that they're looking for when they start serving and seeking to meet the needs of others. If you weren't here last week, I would encourage you, you can listen to that message or watch the entire service online at our website. So I'd encourage you to do that and catch up. So today and next week, we're going to ask you to just jump in. To just jump in. We're going to invite you to experience a taste of real life. To just jump in. Because here's what I found. Not many people unintentionally wander into really living. Not many people just kind of haphazardly just kind of fall into it one day and go, man, I am really living life. It just doesn't happen that way. What happens is to do this, you need to make a decision because it requires a radical departure from the way we're taught in our world how to live and from just this kind of intrinsic selfish desires that every single one of us has. And so it takes a radical departure. You have to make a decision, a commitment that I am going to just jump into it. Well, today we're going to talk about jumping into service in the context of your church. And then next week we're going to kind of broaden our focus and talk about a little bit more generically just serving anywhere and everywhere. But this morning we're going to talk about serving in the context of your church, your spiritual family. And when you're going to do that, if you're going to do that, there's a decision that you have to make first. You know, like when you jump into a pool. When you jump into a pool, there's a decision, and it might just be a split-second decision, or you might really think it out, but how are you going to jump? Because there's all kinds of ways, right? Like, remember when you were a kid, and you would jump into a pool, and you could just jump, or you could do a cannonball, or you could do a can opener, right? There are some kids who would do, like, a swan dive, right? And then there was always the tough kids who would do what? The belly flop, right? They would be like, I will flop on my belly. Look at the pain I will experience for your entertainment. And boom, they would hit there, right? And they'd be all red and everything. Right? You have to decide, if I'm going to jump in and serve, how am I going to jump in and serve? Where am I going to jump in and serve? And so, you know, am I going to teach? That's an option. But if I'm going to teach, will I teach little kids or teenagers or adults? Or maybe I'll be a host. Or maybe I'll jump in and get in the band. But what about the fact that I have no musical abilities and I'm tone deaf? That might hurt. You know. Or I could jump in and find some opportunities to serve at Dean Peterson Elementary, the school that we've adopted. How will I serve? Where will I serve? And if you're going to do this, there's a question that you need to wrestle with first. Show it to you kind of in the book of Romans. If you have a Bible today, you can open to Romans chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. We'll put the verse on the screen. And if you don't own a Bible, we actually give them out every week at the Velcro Bar, so you can just stop by and we'd love to give you a Bible. You can bring it back if you want. So here's the question you really need to wrestle with when you're thinking about, okay, I'm going to start trying to serve. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do and serve in the context of my church. And so how and where? And so here's the question. What do I understand about who God made me to be? What do I understand about who God made me to be? The answer to that question will lead you to the place, the kind of how and where of serving. See, what the Bible teaches, and therefore what we believe here at Verve and what we teach, is that God designed you to serve. He designed you to serve. But God specifically and uniquely designed you to serve in certain areas in your church, in certain ways in your church. God is a God of great intentionality and diversity. You know, God is not a one-size-fits-all God. You don't see that anywhere, right? Like in nature, you never see God just going, let's just make all the flowers look the same, right? No, God is a God of great diversity and intentionality, and he's that way with you, too. He has uniquely designed you and given you your makeup so that you could make a unique impact in the context of God's church. Now, as a church, we could say, look, we got these holes, we got these volunteer needs, and we got these people. Let's just start plugging them in. You know, you're here, and you're here. But that's not what we do. What we try to do is try to help people to understand their unique design and so that they can serve in an area where they're going to feel fulfilled and they're really going to make an impact because it so well fits with the unique way that God made them. So if you're going to just jump in, the question you need to wrestle with is, what do I understand about who God made me to be? What do I understand about who God made me to be? And so I want you to check out a couple passages in this book of Romans chapter 12. We're going to look first at verses 3 through 6. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." We'll stop there. So it's saying, listen, just like you have a human body, right, and your body has different parts, in the same way that the people in a church have different functions. And your parts are not interchangeable, right? You don't go around walking on your hands. You don't shake feet with somebody, right? It's like, it's not that each part has one function. Like my hands do maybe 10 or 15 different things, but there's a bunch of things they can't do very well. My hands can't see. My hands can't hear, right? So there's some things they can't do. And in the same way, you are a part of a body. When you give your life to Jesus, he makes you a part of his body, and there's some things that you can do well. There's also some things you are never meant to do. They just wouldn't fit you. But it's not like there's one thing you can do. There's probably 5 or 10 different things that would fit your unique makeup and who God made you to be. And so this passage goes on next to describe some of the different gifts that God gives to people. And there's other gifts mentioned in other parts of the Bible. And so the idea is that God has given you some abilities. And the reason God has given you these abilities is not just so you can go out and make money. He's given you these abilities so that you can make a difference for him. So that in his body, in the church, you can play your unique part and do something really effective and fulfilling, furthering God's mission and purpose of letting this world know about his love and growing people up in him. Now, when you look through the list of different abilities God gives, the Bible will talk about calling these spiritual gifts sometimes. They're very ordinary abilities. Like when you look through the list, I'd encourage you to do that today. You'll see it's like it mentions teaching is one of the abilities God gives, serving, administration, leading, right? There's no like invisibility, right? There's no like, whoa, like who gets that one, right? They're not crazy things. It's like these don't sound like superpowers to me. They just sound like very ordinary abilities that lots of people have. But here's the deal. What makes them special, what makes them spiritual, even supernatural maybe, is when those gifts, those abilities are given by you to God. When you use them for God, God kind of fills them and he uses them for his purposes. And that's when they go beyond just being ordinary abilities like, oh, teaching, lots of people. No, when you're teaching it for God and it's something he's called you to and he's behind it, then it becomes something special. It becomes something spiritual. And so you need to understanding, well, what are my abilities? What are some of the gifts that God has given me that I can use to serve him and serve other people? And what do I have to offer? And so you need to start maybe taking some guesses. You know, here's something I think I could do. Now, one of the questions people ask at this point is, yeah, but what if I'm wrong? You know, like what if I guess? What if I try something and I'm wrong? That's fine. You're learning about yourself. You're taking a guess. You know, if you guess and you guess right, okay, you guess and you go, I love this. I'm good at it. I'm making a difference. Well, awesome, because you've learned something very important about yourself. But if you guess and you guess wrong, awesome, because you learned something very important about yourself, right? You learned something that you're not, okay? And so now you're starting to narrow it down to find out what you are. And so you just keep guessing. You keep kind of experimenting until you discover over the course of time, and it may happen quickly for you, it may take a while, what gifts and abilities God's given to you and where you can use those in his church. And you find a place where you can start serving and improving and kind of honing those abilities and really make a difference for God. Now, discovering your gifts and abilities is really only part of the process, because once you've discovered them, you also have to determine, so where should I use them, right? So like if you do have the gift of teaching, am I going to teach little kids, or will it be teenagers, or will it be adults? If you have the gift of, the Bible talks about the gift of serving. And the gift of serving is kind of this person who says, you know what, I don't need to be in front of anybody. I don't need to be in the spotlight. I just would rather just be like helping. You know, like let me help somebody. Let me just do whatever it takes to get things done. I'm happy with that. Well, if you have the gift of serving, that's an awesome gift. And so you might use that gift serving in the tech booth, you know, working with the lights or the sound. You might use the gift of serving on our facilities team, coming in and cleaning or fixing broken things, painting. You might use it in the children's ministry. You might say, you know what, I like kids. Throw me in the nursery and I'll change diapers and stuff. Like, I have a gift of serving. I love little babies, and so I'll do that. And so once you determine your gift, now you need to start thinking about, well, where should I use it? And you kind of determine, where is that going to be? And the way you figure that out is partly through a process of self-examination. Okay, I think there's kind of this two-part process, and part of it is self-examination. And so you ask yourself, what am I passionate about? What am I passionate about? What gets me excited? Is it kids? Is it meeting new people? Is it realizing that, man, there are people in this room who hear about God for the first time, and you know, in the context of this service, you know, things happen in their life? What is it that gets you passionate? And you look back and say, what do I have experience with? What have I done in life? Because often God will use those experiences you have for him and for his purposes. And so what are some of the things I've already done, and maybe how might they be able to translate into ministry? What skills have I developed over the course of my life? You know, maybe you can play guitar. Maybe you're really good with computers. Maybe you have skills with photography. And all of those skills are things that God can use in his church. Okay? Like if you're a photographer, man, we could totally use that. Maybe you're kind of a gearhead who loves to work on cars. Maybe you're an entrepreneur who loves to and knows how to get new things started. And so you examine yourself and kind of figure out, who am I, and how might this play into where and how I should serve? And you also experiment. You experiment. What we do at our church is something maybe different than if you grew up in church. It may be very different. Like a lot of churches, when you say, hey, I'm willing to volunteer, they say, great, we're putting you here, right? And so now you've got this 66-year-old lady who's been in the nursery for the last, you know, 45 years, but hates kids. And every week she's in there, shut up, you kids, sit down. And it's like, Mrs. Thompson, she's like, I hate these kids, right? It's like, you've been doing this for 40 years. And she's like, I know, I signed up, and they won't let me out, you know? And you're like, oh, man, right? That's a lot of churches, but that is not what God intended, and that is not Verve. What we do at Verve is something that we call first serves. First serves. And the idea is that you get to test drive before you buy the vehicle. The idea is that you get to kind of experiment and try out a ministry or two to get a feel for, is this right for me? And you may not know, it's not like the first time you do it, you're going to be like, I'm amazing at it. I mean, everything in life takes some practice and takes some training. But hopefully, through trying it once, you'll be like, I think with some practice and some training, I think I could really like this. I think I would be good at this. Or you might try it one time and go, oh no. Like, I thought, like, no way. Great. You narrow your list, right? You narrow down what you could do. And so what we encourage people to do is a first serve. And after your first serve, we will engage and ask you some questions. Questions like, was this position consistent with what you think God made you to be? Does it feel right to you? Questions like, did it energize you? When you left, you were tired maybe, depending on what you did, but was it a good tired where you thought, man, I would do that again? Or was it kind of like, I'm tired and, ugh, like that drained me in a bad way? Okay. And so hopefully through that experience and through thinking it through with some questions, you'll be able to decide either sign me up, loved it, like sign me up for a year, I'm good. In a year I'll reevaluate, but right now that's where I want to serve God. Or you might say, can I do one more first serve in that ministry? Because I think it's right for me. I'm not sure. So can I try one more time before I sign? Yep, you can do that. Or you might go, not good. That's not for me. And we'll have this person who kind of walks with you through the process, and they'll say, no problem. Where do you want to try next? And you can say, all right, next I'll try tech team. And we'll put you on tech team. You try one of those once, and you go, nope, wrong again. Okay, we'll try something else. Or you go, that's it. And we'll kind of walk with you through this process. I want to look at one more passage from Romans 12. So check this out. In the verses 1 and 2, so what immediately preceded what we just looked at, it says this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So it's saying, because God loves you, right? Because God has treated you as well as he has, this is the motivation. Here's what you need to do. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Okay? So give yourself to God. Do whatever God asks you to do. And then, this is your true and proper worship. Check this out. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? Look out for number one, right? The way you're going to be happy is by getting stuff for you. Saying, don't listen to that. Don't follow that because it's not true. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? Man, you need to find a whole new way of thinking, all right? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, here's what's really interesting. What he's saying is, he says, I urge you to offer your body as a living sacrifice. And so kind of what he's saying is, I urge you to just jump in. Just jump in. Just jump in, right? Don't hesitate. Just jump in. Offer yourself to God. Offer yourself to God's purposes. God's purpose for your life is for you to serve other people, to serve within the context of the church, to not serve yourself, okay? And then he says, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Did you notice the order? Offer yourself, jump in, then you'll know what God's will is. Isn't that interesting? It's like in the offering of yourself, you'll be able to figure out God's will for your life. It's in the offering that you're able to test and find out God's will for your life. It's kind of like, you can't steer a car that's not moving, right? A car has to be in motion for you to be able to steer it where it's supposed to go. But what happens in so many people's lives is they meet Jesus, they have this encounter, they decide, God loves me, I want him, they give their lives to him, and then they say, I want to know what God's will is for my life. You know, but where am I supposed to serve? What job am I supposed to have? Who am I supposed to marry? You know, what is God's will for my life? And you know what? I am just going to sit here until he reveals it to me. You know, when God tells me where to serve, I'll serve. When God tells me what job, I'm just going to sit here. And I think God's up in heaven going, how can I steer you if you don't move? It's ridiculous. I can't steer someone who's not moving. You know, you can't get the car to where it's supposed to go if you just sit there and go, no, you start driving and then you can steer it. And so the principle at play here is the first step in discovering your destiny is jumping in. The way you find out where you're supposed to serve is by jumping into serving. Before you know, it's in the process, it's in motion that you'll start to be able to test and approve God's will for your life. You'll start to be able to understand and discern what God has for you. But it starts with simply jumping in. See, too often people get in this kind of analysis paralysis. You know, it's like, well, I don't want to make the wrong call. I don't want to make a mistake. And I could do there, but what? And it's like, no, just jump in. Just jump in, and you'll figure it out in the journey. If you jump the wrong way or in the wrong place, that's okay. You're experimenting. You're learning, right? You have a long life to live with God, a long life to make a difference for God, a long life to live a bigger life than what you're living right now. And so jump in and start in this journey, and you'll figure it out along the way. And God will help you, but he will steer you once you're moving. So listen, just to be absolutely clear, we're asking every single person today who has made Verve their home, or you're like, man, I come here, I'm not here every week, but this is my church, this is where I go. We're asking everyone who does not currently serve to sign up today for a first serve or two, and to experiment and to kick the tires a little bit, and to start trying to find the place where they can permanently serve and make a difference for God in this church. Some of you have been coming and you're not serving yet. Today's your day, and you can do that. Some of you maybe are serving, but maybe there's something inside of you where you realize, I could do more. Like, I'm serving, but it's not much. Like, there are people in this church who give hours of themselves every week because they want to serve God and they want to make a difference with their lives. And you realize, I give minutes of my life a week. There are people who give hours, I give minutes. Or there are people who give hours, I give minutes every other week or once a month. And maybe you realize, I could probably take on something else. You know, I like what I do, but I could probably do a little bit more, and I probably have the time to do that, and God's probably important enough, and his mission in Las Vegas and around the world is probably big enough. So here's what we're doing today. When you leave today, there's a bunch of tables in the lobby, and we're doing a little bit of a ministry fair, ministry expo, and so most of our ministries are going to be represented with a person there who can answer your question. And so you can go up and say, what do you got? Like, what are the volunteer positions in this ministry? And they'll say, oh, we've got these six or seven different things, and you can go, nope, maybe. That's something maybe I would do. Tell me about that. Like, how many hours is it? When do you have to show up? What's the commitment like? And they'll tell you. And again, remember, you're not signing up for life. You're not even signing up yet for a year. You're just saying, all right, I'll come in once. I'll come in one time and try that. And after that, we'll talk. And if you're not into that, we'll help you find something else. We're trying to make it a little bit fun, and so there's some sort of thing where if you do a first serve, your name gets entered in a raffle, and they're doing a drawing for like a gift card for a restaurant or something, just to make it fun. I also, if I understand correctly, there are freezies at each station, different color freezies, because we've had people in the past who are like, I honestly have no idea where, I understand I can ask questions, I have no idea where to serve, I'm new to all this, and so somebody had the idea, choose your favorite color freezie. So just go up and say, I like cherry freezies, and I'm going to serve in this ministry because you had the red ones. And so, and when you sign up to serve, you will get a freezie as your gift for your first serve. So now remember, when you do this, and I said when, not if, hey. Remember, this is not about filling a position. It's not like, all right, I'll do my duty. I get it. We all need to pitch it. No. That's not it at all. This is not about, okay, if we're going to live good Christian lives, religious lives, serving's part of it, we're going to need to check that. No. This is about you living a bigger life. This is about you living a bigger life. This is about you answering the question, what am I going to wager my life on? What am I going to bet my life on? This is about the great gamble. This is about you looking at Jesus, seeing the example that he set, hearing him say, you follow my example and I will bless you. The way God really pours his life into yours is when you choose to serve and you saying, yes, I will do that. Yes, Jesus, I will do that. Jesus said the greatest of all is the one who serves all. He said the best life, the most joy, the greatest adventure is when you choose to start serving other people. And part of the way God calls you to do that in the Bible is through serving in the church. And so what this is about is living a bigger life and us together trying to turn the world upside down and put a smile on God's face. What this is really about is us making ripples. It's about ripples. You know, when you jump into a pool, there's ripples, right? And it's kind of like the bigger the jump, the more ripples you create. And personally, what I want to do with my life is I want to make a really big splash so that it just sends out tons of ripples. My goal for my life is, man, I just want to send out a bunch of ripples. I want to send out, like, endless ripples. And my hope for you with this series is that you make that same decision. That with this series, you realize, man, what I want to do with my life is I want to live bigger. And so I want to just jump in, and I want to make the biggest splash I can with the one life I have to live here on earth. And what I want to do with my life is I want to touch people, and then I want them to touch people, and I just want to send out huge tons of endless ripples that my life really made a difference and touched lives of others who touched lives of others who touched lives of others, and it just kept going. That's my goal for you this series. Today we've got a cool announcement to make, and we'll just kind of put it in here. But we are actually adding a new staff member at Verve this week. And her name, many of you know her, is Margaret Nitzel. Being on staff at Verve means that you get paid very little and that you have to actually raise almost your entire salary yourself. So it's not even like, hey, we'll give you a crappy salary. It's like, hey, you get a crappy salary, and you've got to go out and find it yourself through asking people. And so it is a really big sacrifice to be willing to be on staff here. And Margaret is giving up a lot. She's taken a huge pay cut and working hard to be able to be on staff here. We wanted you guys to know Margaret a little better. Some of you probably don't know her well, or maybe not at all. And so what we did this week is we hired the best professional interviewer and the best film crew that we could find. Honestly, it was a huge financial expenditure to make this happen. But when you see it, you'll realize it's fully worth it. And so check out this video interview we had made.
Welcome to Between Two Verve Buckets again for another episode. I'm Jimmy Altman, and today I'm joined by
Margaret.
T is silent. I like that. So, big news for you. You're joining the staff at Verve.
Yes, that's right. I am.
I don't know if I'd be that excited about it. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, I am pretty excited about it.
So, Margaret, you've been coming to Verve really since before it even began, right?
Yes, that's right. I have been.
You've been going to Verve back when it used to meet at Greek Isles Casino.
Yep, I have.
Was Greece nice that time of year?
Well, no, it's...
It's not nice that time?
Well, the Greek Isles Casino is not in Greece. It's a casino that's off the strip. It's close to the strip.
All right.
Yeah.
The strip is in Greece. Is right there in Greece. So, with all your time here, you've been one of Verve's main volunteers. You served in a part of the student ministry, and you at the Velcro Bar. And is that right, Velcro Bar?
Mm-hmm.
And you were in charge of parties on the block.
Block parties, yes, I have been.
And that makes you...
Overseeing community service.
Special. Real special, aren't you?
Well, no. I mean, I just really like to serve...
And now, a word from our sponsors. I gotta do a word from our sponsors real quick. Hi. Are onions ruining your life? Ma'am, are onions ruining your life?
Sure.
I think the answer for all of us is yes. They are. And cutting onions is a source of endless tears and iration. But cry no more. New. It's onion goggles. These goggles, they'll protect you from onions. And even more, they are stylish and comfortable. As you can see, onion goggles. Now with a fog-free lens.
A little Velcro on the front, just like this. There you go.
Stylish, comfortable, only $19.99. Onion goggles.
So, Margaret, with your role on the staff here, one of the areas you're coming on to help with is community service.
Yes, that's right.
Is that because of your time in prison?
What?
Your time in prison. That's why you're helping with community service, right?
No, I've never been to prison. Community service is us going out into the community, serving the needs of other people. I've never been to prison.
Because the judge let you off to do community service instead.
No, because I've never been to prison.
I understand. Prison's in your past. You want to keep it there.
No, I've never been to prison.
It's okay. Right. She's coming on to lead Verve's community service. Never been to prison. So, Margaret. My researchers tell me you like exercise. Included in that, you run and hike. They say you're quite physically fit.
Sure, I guess so.
Do you think you could take me?
In what?
In a down and dirty push-up contest right now. Let's go. Here.
No. I don't think
off.
This is the best idea. No.
Hold my legs, Margaret. Hold up.
No, this is
Here we go! Go again! Oh god! I'll be back! Oh, I see why you've been to prison! You're evil! Someone get these onion goggles off me! Help!
So do you know why Margaret is the kind of person we would want to have on staff? And do you know why she's the kind of person really we should all make an example to follow? Ripples. So back before Verve officially started, we did meet at the Greek Isles Casino, and Margaret was one of the first people with her husband who started coming there. And not only has she continued to come every week, but she's invited other people to come with her. She's just jumped in. So like she invited her mother to come, and her mother now comes every Monday night she's here. And her mother invited a friend of hers named Dan. Margaret also invited a coworker of hers named Valerie, and Valerie now comes every week. She's here with her daughter, Mimi, and Valerie invited another one of her coworkers named Trisha. Margaret invited her sister named Crystal. Crystal started coming regularly and then started bringing her friend Greg, who now comes all the time, and Margaret also invited her friend Elisa, and she loved her, so she started coming every week, and then she invited her friend Dave. Dave started coming, and Dave actually gave his life to Christ. He might have been back in the parking lot when he got baptized. And then Margaret invited another coworker. His name is Ron. Ron started coming every week. Ron took one of our classes called Verge, and Ron decided that he wanted a relationship with God. And just a few weeks ago, Ron was baptized. Ron actually invited a friend of his named Mary Ann, who came to be there for his baptism. And And Margaret also, a while back, started leading a micro group. We've got these groups of 3 to 5 people who meet every week and kind of encourage and support each other. And not only she led it, but now there's somebody in her group who's about to launch out and start a group of her own. And so now there's going to be a new group from her group. Margaret has served in all kinds of ministries. She's served in just about every ministry we have. But not only has she served, everywhere she's served, she's kind of recruited people to serve with her and said, hey, why don't you do this? And people she's brought to church, she said, hey, you should start serving. Why don't you try this? And so if you went around and asked people who serve at Verve, why do you serve? A bunch of them would say, Margaret. And some of those people have started encouraging other people to serve, and now they have people serving. And do you see how Margaret has just created a ton of ripples in just a few years here at Verve? Do you see how it works? It's like one life hits another, and on it goes, and potentially for all eternity. And isn't that what you want to do with your life? Really? Isn't it what you want to do with your life? I mean, personally, like, I think a really cool thing to have on my tombstone someday would be, Vince Antonucci, we're still feeling the ripples. I just want to make the biggest splash I can and just have it ripple all over other people for as long as possible. And I hope you choose the same. And so, it's time for you to jump. It's time for you to jump. Now listen, I understand, I really do, the concerns you probably have. You know, with this idea of, all right, I'm going to sign up, I'm going to start serving in this church. I'm going to find an area that I can serve in, like, consistently and really make a difference. You probably have questions like, do I really have the time to do this? How much is this going to take out of me? Am I going to have the right skills and experience to be able to do this successfully? Will I like the other people that I'm serving with? I realize that you have questions, that you have hesitations as you stand at the end of the diving board. But listen, when I was up on that diving board when I was 5 years old, the thing that enabled me, that gave me the courage to jump, even with my fear, was that my father was down there. And he had his arms open, and he was like, you can do this, jump! I've got you. And you need to know that your Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father has His arms open, and He is ready to catch you, to make sure that you don't drown. And He is one of the voices that's urging you to just jump in. That thing inside of you that feels like, maybe I should do this, maybe this is right. Now that's God saying, just jump in. And so it's time. It's time to just jump in. Just jump in. Just jump in. I'm going to pray. And when I'm done praying, service is over, you'll walk out. There's going to be those tables out there. I strongly encourage you, man, just visit around, ask questions, find a place or two where you can experiment by doing a first serve. But when I get done praying, instead of amen, we will end our prayer with a big Viva La Verve, okay, which is what we do every week. We always yell that out at the end. It means live the life. All right, let's pray. God, thanks so much for today, and thanks more for the offer you give us, not just of eternal life someday in heaven, but real, powerful, important, impactful, influential, meaningful life here and now. God, you teach us throughout the Bible that the way to find that life, the way to discover and actually live that life, is through giving our lives away. It's like, it's my life, and I'm going to give it away in serving others. And that's how I'll find real life. God, I pray every person in this room makes that decision to live real life by serving others. And God, today we have this opportunity to sign up for a place to serve here at Verve, maybe for a second place to serve if some of us are doing something that maybe doesn't require a whole lot from us. God, I pray that every person finds a place to serve in your church, in your body, in your family, and make a difference for you. God, thanks for who you are, for giving us this opportunity, for encouraging us to jump in. God, we pray in Jesus' name, and all of Verve said, Viva La Verve!